Well, Jesus said that my house shall be called a house of prayer. And today, Big Spring Baptist Church, we're dedicating this day as a day of prayer. And we'll be preaching on prayer in just a few moments. And tonight, we've dedicated our whole service to a time of prayer. And thinking about that, it's really, really nice to see deacons lining up to come and lead us in prayer. But I want us to do something that we don't normally do at this time before we begin the message. I'm going to ask Brother David Robinson to come. And I want to encourage you, because this is a house of prayer, because you have needs in your life, just like I have needs in my life, that only God can meet those needs. And the Word of God tells us that we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Our flesh and blood are not our enemies, but we wrestle against evil authorities, evil rulers in the unseen world. We do not always see that spiritual warfare that is going on. We do not see that spiritual warfare, but we see the results of it. And in my life and in my family, the evil one attacks. And that happens in your family, I'm sure, and in your life as well. And so I want to ask those of you who will come to the altar to pray for your family, to pray for you, to pray for your church. The Bible says that we're to pray for our church. Those of you who would like to come but you couldn't kneel at the altar, you can sit on the front pews, and if you go back to the second pew, that will be fine. But I want us to gather together, and Brother David Robinson is going to come and lead us in a prayer, and let's pray together as the people of God.
As we come to prayer, I'm sure there's not a one that's in this auditorium that hasn't depended on the Lord for their strength and their guidance, and has protected them during illness, sickness, or even an accident. So as we come for prayer, we know that the Lord is there to answer, and we're grateful to Him. So let's think about those things as we bow and as we pray to the Lord this morning. Father, we do come to you this morning, and we're thankful that we're in your house, that we're here to serve you and to lift your name up. We thank you for the songs that we have sung, and we're looking forward to the word being preached. Father, how can we that have seen your mighty power, your healing, your strength, your comfort, how can we not lower our head, bow on our knees, to be thankful for the things that you have done? We know that you're the omnipotent one, that you can do the miraculous things in our church as we look to you for that guidance. This morning, dear Heavenly Father, our church faces many things, many situations that need your direction, that we need to see what you would have us to do and how you would want us to step up and be a leader, from the smallest person to the oldest person in our building. Everybody needs to look to you for their guidance. Be with us through this day. Be with us through this evening as we pray, and through the weeks ahead as we pray. It's not just a day of prayer. It's every day of prayer, that we will be led by you and we will seek what's best for our church. Go with us now through the rest of this service as we lift you up, and as we thank you for your blessings and what you have done for us, and as we feel your healing power, not only in our own bodies, but in our church. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We'll give you just a moment to get back to your seats, but we are going to begin a new series today. I'm calling Essential Relationships, and inside the bulletin you'll find an outline with the scriptures and outline that we're going to share this morning on prayer. And essential relationships, the most essential, the most vital relationship, the most vital connection that you and I can make is with Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And the only way that we can do that is through prayer. That's how we connect with God. That's how we relate with God. And so today we begin that. Jesus said in an incredible promise in John chapter 15, verse 7, he said this about being related to him, about how essential that is. He said, if you stay joined to me, if you stay related to me, if you stay connected to me, and my words remain in you, you may ask, now get this, you may ask any request you like, and it will be granted. Now, Jesus is speaking to his people, and if you are not a child of God, this is not a promise for you. You can hear this promise and know that it is there. And God may answer your prayers as someone who has not yet stepped across that line into the kingdom of God and into the family of God. You may not have asked him to come into your life yet, and you may pray and God may answer your prayer. But God is not obligated to answer your prayer if you're not in his family. But God has said that if a Christian will be connected to him, and if we will remain in him, he will answer our prayers. He will grant any request. What an incredible verse. What an incredible promise. It's like a blank check. It's like God giving us unlimited credit. And the reason why we don't have so many of our prayers answered, and the reason why we don't see so many miracles in our lives is because we're not staying rightly related to Jesus. We're not vitally and essentially connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't stay joined to him and connected to him. And it says two things in this verse. It says more than two things, but two things I want to just bring out. He says, stay joined to me, and secondly, he said, my words remain in you. And now we know about the words remaining in us part. We know about that. The word remaining in us, he's talking about God's word, the Bible. He's talking about hearing the word of God, just like you're doing right now. He's talking about reading the word of God. He's talking about studying the word of God. He's talking about taking some verses that God has impressed upon your life that have been so valuable in your life. And he's saying, memorize those verses. And he's saying, think on that word, meditate on the word. And God says to apply those things that are in his word. That's what he means to remain in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Six ways that we get a grasp on the word of God. But how do we do that first part? How do we stay joined to God? How do we stay rightly related to him and connected to him in the right way? Because all over the world, people want to be related to God. And we read about different Christians who go in different parts of the world. I was reading about a Christian who went to the Orient, and he was down in the marketplace, and there was this guy selling gongs. And he said, what are these gongs for? And he said, it's to get God's attention. It's to wake God up. People all over the world want to wake God up. People all over the world want to listen, to be related to God and hear what God has said. They want to get connected to God and be rightly related to God. And people will jump up and down and they'll beat tambourines and they'll chant certain words and they think that they're getting connected to God in the right way. And we think those may be a little strange. But some of the so-called Christian ways of connecting and relating to God are just as goofy. They're just as bizarre and just as off base. And Jesus often exploded the common myths about prayer. And he made very clear that prayer was given to us so that we could relate with God. And it was meant to be a stress reliever, not a guilt producer. And we often think of prayer as some duty. Well, I should be praying, and it's a duty to us so many times, and we begin to feel guilty because we don't pray enough. And Jesus said, no, that is not why I want you to pray. That's not what prayer is all about. I want us to look at Matthew chapter 6 and verses 7 and 8. The Message paraphrases it like this. And I just like the way he puts it here. It is so clear and simple. It says that the world is full of so-called prayer warriors or prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. In other words, so much of the world prays as if God is some distant Santa Claus out there in the universe somewhere. Jesus said, don't fall for that nonsense. Now, Jesus said that over 2,000 years ago. It was relevant when he said it. It's relevant still today because there's so many books and magazines and seminars and self-help books that teach you that if you just pray a certain way, and if you just chant a certain thing, or you do so many of these rituals, you get on God's good side, and you'll get whatever God wants, whatever you want from God. Did you know that there are articles that are entitled, they have the title, and they're about something like this, that says, Bible prayers to flush out body fat? Now, that's worth taking a second look at, isn't it? And this article said you can lose 10, 20, 30, or even more pounds with Bible prayers that are guaranteed to flush out body fat for eternity. Not just one time, but for all of eternity. It says you can rest assured that the flab you lose will stay lost. You don't have to eat any special diet. You can eat anything you want. Exercise? No. All you have to do is pray these special prayers. On Monday, pray this: man does not live by bread alone. And then on Tuesday, you pray, I am the bread of life. There's a different prayer for each day. And when I read that, I thought that's what Jesus was talking about when he said the world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice and peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. So what I want to do today is I want to toss out some old misconceptions about prayer and how to get rightly connected and related to God and all those rituals and all those ideas that are false ideas about prayer. And I want you to toss those out too. And for just a moment, think about how you really relate to God through prayer. How do you really get connected to God through prayer? And the first step in relating to God, I want you to write this down. It is so vital. It is so essential in our day and time. And that is, we've got to slow down. And we've been talking about the fast-paced life that we live. I've been talking about that as a pastor for over 30 years. But we are living in a day where it's faster than ever before. It is so fast that fast doesn't even describe it today. But God says in Psalm 37, verse 7, be still. You've got to get that time where you slow down and you get still in the presence of the Lord. And some of the other translations of that verse say, quiet down. We don't have quiet anymore. Wait and trust the Lord. Surrender yourself to the Lord. Rest in the Lord. What that means is you drop everything and you get before the Lord. He gives us an illustration of this in Psalm 131 and verse 2. I have stilled, David says, I have stilled and quieted myself just as a small child is quiet with its mother. And I thought about
those times, you know, I just love to hold babies. You know, babies are just so tender and soft, and it's just a joy to be able to hold those babies. But sometimes, even my own babies, but especially babies that were not mine, they'll begin to cry, and I'll begin to rock them and try to calm them down and try to get them to stop crying, and their mother is nowhere to be seen. And then all of a sudden, the mother bursts through the door, and you give that little baby to that mother, and instantly that baby quiets down. God says that's the way it is when you get still before me. When you slow down and you get quiet before me, you've got all this stress going on around you. You've got all these hurts going on around you. You've got all these pressures and things that are going on. If you will get still before me, it will be like a mother quieting her baby. And that's the way it will be for you. A Christian philosopher has said, the more we train ourselves to spend time with God and with Him alone, we will discover that God is with us all of the time. In all places, we have to schedule times of quietness away from that busy, hectic life. There has to be something in our schedule where we are away from our normal routine. Jesus did this. The very Son of God, God Himself did this. Luke 5:16 says that Jesus often slipped away to be alone so He could pray. If Jesus had to get away from His normal routine to find that quiet time 2,000 years ago on this earth, how much more today in this society do we need to schedule time alone and get quiet before the Lord? What we need is MDR, is that minimum daily requirement of being alone with God. Being alone with God. At least 15 minutes, we really need more than that. But some of us, we don't even take 15 minutes. Just you and God. Nobody else. No other noises. No other sound. No other connection with others. You just need to have some hours in your week that are devoted just to quietness and stillness. And maybe once a month, a half a day, or if you can, a whole day away from the routine. Just be quiet before the Lord. But you also have to, which is even harder, find ways in our daily life to be quiet. Yet God has given us some ways to do that. He gave each of us a personality. The personality that you have, it's unique. It allows us to relate to other people. Our personality does. Our personality gives us an emotional thumbprint, an emotional way to relate to and connect with God in worship. The only way to connect with God permanently is to be saved, is to have the Son of God and His Spirit come into your life and make your spirit alive. And that's the only way you can permanently connect to God. That's the best way. That's the only way. Not the best way, it's the only way. It is the best way, but it's the only way. And one of the ways that God has given to many people after Jesus comes into your life and you connect with God is to get quiet and to get alone and to listen to Him is get out in nature. We've got a lot of nature folks here that love to get outside and get close to God. You know, God speaks to us. The Bible says He speaks to us through nature. The Bible says that nature tells us about the majesty of God. It tells us about the power of God. And sometimes when you get outside and you just look at those hills and those mountains and those trees and all of the great majesty of what God has created, you get to where you say, God, You are so great, and God, You are so powerful. And you get in touch with God through nature. And some of you say, well, I'm not that kind of person. I love art and I love music. I love architecture. Whatever it is, God has designed you in a way that you can get connected to Him and get still before Him and let Him speak to you. Some people just need to be alone. Some people God has made you to create as you build something, as you use your hands to make a craft, as you compose something, as you write something down, as you're using your creativity. It opens you up to hear God. But you got to get still and you got to get quiet before the Lord. The second thing that we see as we get rightly related to Jesus Christ is we must seek God with the intensity of our whole heart. You can't be insincere when you come to God. You can't be You've got to be genuine. You've got to be authentic. You have to be real about how you feel. You just have to be that way. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13, God says, if you look for me in earnest, you will find me when you seek me. You've got to seek God with all of your heart. There can't be any part of your heart that is holding back and saying this part is for something else. God says, I want all of you, and I want all of your heart, and I want you to be authentic when you come to me. You know, in Jesus' day, there was a group of men that he spoke to, and he spoke some very harsh words to these men. They were very insincere in their prayer life. They were very pious about it. They prayed three times a day at 9 a.m., at noon, and at 3 p.m., and they always prayed in public spots so everybody could see how spiritual, how pious, how righteous they were. Now, Jesus was not saying that churches should not come together and pray together. That is not what Jesus was talking about here. Don't ever use it. If you go to Acts chapter 4 and you look at a praying church in Acts chapter 4, that is a church that began to pray and the ground literally shook. There was an earthquake. It shook up the place. So the church is to pray together, but these guys were being very dishonest. They just did it for show. These guys were called Pharisees, and Jesus could not stand the Pharisees. They were so pompous and presumptuous. They would pretend to be talking to God and to be related to and connected with God, but they weren't, because they were just doing it for show. Every day, same prayers, same set time, the same time of each day, the cut and dried prayers, no real heart in it at all, and it really was a source of pride. And Jesus made it very clear that these guys were not rightly related with God. In fact, he made it clear that prayer is not a spectator sport. Prayer is not something you do to be seen, to get other people to watch you. So Jesus said this about the Pharisees in Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6. When you come before God, don't turn it into a theatrical production. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. Two big barriers in these verses that keep us from relating to God in the right way with all of our heart. The first thing is trying to impress others. When you're trying to impress others when you pray, the way that you pray, there's no way that you can relate to God in the right way, because you can't focus on God and others at the same time. The second barrier that Jesus talks about in these verses is to try to pray in order to impress God. And sometimes you don't do this on purpose. We do this unconsciously. And we're saying what we think God wants us to pray. We're praying and saying what we think we know what God wants to hear from us, instead of what really is on our heart. And many times I've done that. Many times I've prayed and I thought, God, what do you want me to pray? Rather than what is really on my heart, what do I really care about? What is on my mind? Just tell God exactly what's on your heart. Get where you calm down and focus on God. And then I'm not trying to impress anybody. And one of the problems is, the longer you're a follower of Christ, the longer you're a believer, the more you start to pick up on religious cliches. You know, the more you're around other Christians and you hear them pray and you hear them pray something, oh, that sounds good. I think I'll put that in my vocabulary. Jesus said, don't do that. Don't do that. But we get caught up into that. And we have these little phrases. And we have these little tired cliches, overworked phrases that we hear over and over. And God is not impressed with that. And you start using these cliches even when you talk to people, and you use crazy words like, that grieved me in my spirit. When in reality, a couple of years before you were saved, you'd probably say, that ticked me off. But that doesn't sound spiritual. So you say, it just grieved me in my spirit. I've noticed that in Christianity today, there are a couple of phrases that we use as filler words. And a lot of times we're afraid to just be silent in our prayers. Part of praying, as you start prayer, you need to start with the Word of God and listen to what God has to say. And so part of prayer is not you doing all of the talking all the time. Sometimes you're just silent before the Lord and you get quiet and let Him speak to you. And then you can pray it once you think of it. And so not you just using those filler words, you know, to pray and to seek God with your whole heart. You know, I love to hear new believers pray. You know, they haven't picked up on any of those cliches yet, those old worn out phrases and things. They'll say things like, "Hey, God, it's George. I've got some things I want to talk to you about, Lord." And just really from the heart. It's only as we grow in the faith that we start using jargon that doesn't really make any sense. Then the third thing, Jesus said to strive to use simple words and avoid repetition. In other words, don't get complicated with your prayers. Not only don't use fancy words, but you don't need to repeat them over and over and over. You don't need to use or look for a certain word or a certain phrase that somehow is going to get access to God, like that gong. It's going to wake God up as if He's asleep and He's just so busy. There are some religions today that teach if you repeat a certain word over and over that you can have access to God, that you'll get God's attention. But Jesus said that is not true. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7, He said, "And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as Gentiles, as unbelievers do. For they suppose that they will be heard for their many words." Or don't recite the same prayer over and over, because there's no such thing as certain words or phrases that will get you to God. Jesus said in Matthew, when He was talking about how we can keep seeking and keep knocking and keep asking, He wasn't saying keep repeating the same certain word over and over so that you get God's attention. Jesus was saying ask. Ask. Come to God with your desires. Jesus was saying, seek, come to God for direction in your life. Jesus was saying, knock. Jesus was saying, come to God with a determination and a persistence. But He was saying, get rid of the vain repetition, the meaningless repetition. And we talk and repeat our prayers to God, it gets our attention when we're persistent in prayer. It's not to make God listen to us, it's to make us listen to God. And it helps us separate what it is we think we want from what we really want. And there's nothing wrong with asking God over and over for something, as long as you realize it's not to get God to do something, it's not to put God over a barrel, as much as it is to get me to concentrate more on Him. Jesus gave a perfect example. In the Lord's Prayer, you know it as the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. I want to break it down for just a moment. Jesus said, "In this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Jesus starts out by saying, start your prayers by saying, "Our Father." You know, you're His child. He's your Father. And you come to Him, to a loving Father, knowing that He cares about you as His child. He is our Father in heaven, He says. And I need to remember that God has a perspective in heaven that I don't have here on this earth. Number one, because He's infinite God. He is eternal God. But number two, He has a perspective from heaven. He sees into eternity. Where here, I can't really see what the next step is many times. But God is my Father who is in heaven, and He sees what needs to be done in my life, and He sees what needs to be done in the rest of the world. And then the prayer goes on. He says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, God's will is His will is perfect. And what God has for the world is perfect. And He's clear in connecting with Him. I have an opportunity to surrender my agenda to Him, to surrender my will to God, my plans and my life to a loving Father. And there's no risk of surrendering myself to a Father who loves me like that. And then he goes on, he says, give us this day our daily bread. We want our physical needs to be met. We like to eat. We like to have a roof over our head that doesn't leak. We like to have clothes for our body, and Jesus said to pray about that. God cares about those physical needs that we have. He also cares about our emotional needs, our spiritual needs. He cares about our heart and what goes on in there. There have been times when I felt so low and I felt so down, but knowing that God cares about that as well keeps me going. And it'll keep you going too. Give us this day our daily bread. And then he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The time of relating to God in prayer is a time to ask God for his forgiveness and to receive his forgiveness. A time also to think about who we need to forgive. You know, when you begin to pray for somebody in your life that has just been that heavenly sandpaper in your life, they've been irritating and it's been frustrating, kind of a relationship. And if you're like me, there's been times where I've hesitated to pray for somebody like that because I know that if I will sincerely pray for that person, that God will soften my heart to the point where I'll begin to forgive them and love them like God wants me to love them and to forgive them. And there's been times probably that you've avoided praying for somebody because you knew that if you prayed for that person sincerely, that God would change you. And you weren't ready yet to be changed. But God says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then it goes on to say, and do not lead us in temptation. Do not lead us into temptation. In other words, keep us safe from ourselves, but deliver us from the evil one. Have you found that you're your own worst enemy? Maybe you've not come to the place where you've admitted that. But yeah, the devil, the Bible tells us that the devil is our enemy and there's a battle against him, that there are many times where the devil doesn't even have to do anything. We'll make wrong decisions. We'll have it our way. We'll hold on to resentment. We don't want any discipline. We say things like that I don't want to talk to God in prayer about. And so we become our worst enemy. But we also have an enemy like the devil. He says, deliver us from the evil one. Jesus said we're to pray for protection from him. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, yes, you are in a battle. But that battle has been won. And you need to claim that victory that has been won for you against the devil. You are safe and you need to pray for that protection. God will protect you from anything the devil will try to do if you ask God for that protection. And then Jesus closes this model prayer, this very simple way of teaching us to pray, by saying, God, you're in charge. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. When Jesus was about to face his most difficult moment, the crucifixion, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying so earnestly and with his whole heart. He was seeking God so intensely that the Bible says that he sweat, as it were, drops of blood. And he comes to the end of that prayer. He said, God, if there's any other way that salvation can come to the world other than me having to die on the cross, please let it happen. But if there isn't, your will be done. And that's the way we need to close our prayers. God, I've laid these requests before you. God, you're in charge, though. I'm not. I've laid before you the things that matter to me. I've talked to you about the things that are concerning me. I've said it to you, but God, you're in charge. Your will be done in my life. Prayer is not complicated. It's not complex. It's very simple. It's us coming to a loving Father, telling him what we need, and then surrendering our lives back to him to simply relate to God. And then the fourth thing that God would have us to do is to trust him to answer. Trust God to answer those prayers. There are two essentials of getting your prayers answered: grace, God's grace, and your faith. You put your faith in God's grace. Grace is God's gift to you. And you and I need to remember that the only reason we can connect with God and relate to God in a right way is because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, what Jesus did for us. And you could never connect to God on your own. God is holy. That He holy means that God is completely other. And God is perfect. But I am unholy. And I am imperfect. And so are you. And so I don't even have a chance on my own. You don't have a chance on your own to connect with God and to get rightly related to God. We're light years apart. So we need a bridge. We need a mediator. We need somebody to make the connection for us. And because God realized that you could never make that connection on your own, because you couldn't earn it, you could never deserve it, He came to earth in human form. Through His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus died for all of your sins so that they could be forgiven, those sins could be forgiven, that you, an imperfect person, can make a connection with a perfect God. And if it weren't for Jesus, there is no connection. And God took the initiative. You didn't. He took the initiative. And it's a free gift. Would you like to get rightly related to God today? Would you like to connect with God? You can. Here's what it says in Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Bible says that we can come to God confidently. Not confident in our own goodness, because there's no goodness in us. Not confident that you deserve it. Or that you've earned it. Our confidence is in the grace of God. Our confidence is based on the blood of Jesus Christ that He shed on the cross for us. That's how you get to heaven. That's how I get to heaven. That's how anybody gets to heaven. Only through the name of Jesus. That's why we pray when we pray in Jesus' name. I make these requests not because I deserve it, but because of what Jesus has done. You and I get in to heaven on the ticket of Jesus, and that's the only way. John 14:13, Jesus said, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father. And grace is what God gives me because Jesus paid for it. And you may feel today that you don't deserve to have a personal relationship with God. And you're saying, well, I'm thinking about all of the things that I've ever done wrong in my life, all of the sins that I've committed. God wouldn't be interested in me. God wouldn't care about me. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of getting right with God. And you're absolutely right. You're not worthy. And neither is anybody else. Neither am I. It is all a gift of grace. But no matter what you've done, you can take this first step in becoming rightly related to Jesus Christ today. Hebrews 11:6 says, anyone who comes to God must believe that He is real and that He rewards those who truly want to find Him. What's the requirement? The requirement is believe that He is. Believe that God is real. Believe that Jesus is real. And believe that He wants to reward you when you want to find Him. One day a man came to Jesus with a son who was very, very ill. And Jesus said, do you believe that I can heal your son? And the man wanted his son to be healed, and he said, Lord, I want to believe. Help me with my doubts. Help me with my unbelief. And Jesus said, that's good enough. And He healed him right there on the spot. Can you take that step today? Can you say, Lord, I want to believe. Help me with my doubts. Lord, help me with my unbelief. I want to believe. And God will say, Jesus will say, that's good enough. And His grace will take over. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to ask our Sunday school class that's praying today to come to the altar and to pray during this time. We're going to sing an invitation song. And I'm going to be standing here at the front. If God's spoken to your heart and you want to get rightly related to God, to Jesus Christ today, I want to invite you to come. You can be saved today. Maybe you're just not quite sure what you need to do. I'd be happy to pray with you and talk with you.
We have others who will do that. Maybe you just want to come and kneel at the altar and pray, or sit down on the front pew and pray. Whatever it is God's saying to your heart, you come as we sing.